Well, good morning, Bridgewater. How are you doing today? Glad that for you are joining us online. Thank you for joining us. Sounds like it's the excitement today is online. Hey, I had another week's vacation. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that great? Pastor Bob did a great job, didn't he? It's good to have some of the different guys here at our campus be able to speak in Conklin as well as online. And we're looking forward to this fall as it's coming up. I'll be saying more after the service about Best Sunday Ever. But we're going to conclude our series on Vision Lakes. And the reason we keep talking about this series year after year is because of this. We want to keep our core values before you as a church. I think when people lose their way, they lose what the church is about. They become introspective. They become holy huddles. And before you know it, the church becomes more about what they want than what God wants. And so we're trying to remain focused and say this. The church is about making more and better disciples of Jesus Christ, period. And that's what we've seen. It's always been that way, and that is our mission. And so as we walk through these things, we want you to remember that it's important that we keep reaching people in our community for Christ. For those people who are far from Christ, we want to make sure that we make the message known to them. Also, for those who've accepted Christ, we want them to keep growing in their faith, showing some of the characteristics that we're talking about in this series to really be more mature and more devoted followers of Jesus Christ. This morning, I'm going to have you open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, and we're going to be looking at an extremely familiar story of the Good Samaritan. And we're going to be talking about the topic of save people, serve people. Recently, I was in a box store, and as I was going to the box store, I had bought an item earlier in the season, and I went back to buy another item. So I knew where it was in the store. So as I went back to the store, I walked down the aisle, I looked, and the item that I was looking for was no longer there. And I thought that maybe I was wrong, I picked the wrong aisle. So I started kind of walking up and down the aisles in that general area of the store, and I couldn't find it. And so I did something that I typically don't do. I asked for help. And so I went to find an employee. I saw this guy standing there. I walked up and said, hey, pardon me. Can I? And I was being very polite. I promise I was being very polite. And I said, could you help me find this item? I don't think the guy really wanted to be bothered. And he looked at me like I was a major inconvenience in his life. And I said, like, I'm not like asking you like to make the item. I'm not asking you to buy the item for me. I'm not even asking you to take me by the hand. Can you just point me in the direction of where the item is? And he responded to me. I didn't say those things. Wanted to, but I didn't. He said this. He goes, and he pointed. So as I walked away, I was thinking, I got to say something to this guy. So I stopped and started to turn around, and I was going to say, is me shopping in this store an inconvenience to you? But I looked down and realized that I had a Bridgewater shirt on. True story. And so he just pointed me in a direction, and one got the item. If you've ever been to a restaurant or a store or a repair shop, and you have this wonderful customer service, these are the people that you want to support. It's a great experience. But there's nothing worse than going to a place where you get horrible service. I used to meet with a guy when I was in my 20s. He tells you, he barely graduated from high school, but built this incredible construction company. You're just a sage, a guy full of wisdom. And so we'd get together, and we'd just laugh and talk about life. And so I would meet with him and talk to him every week. And he'd tell me his name was Ernie. And I've talked about Ernie before. He goes, Burr? He called me Burr. New restaurant open. Let's go to the restaurant. All right, Ernie, we'll meet there. So I'd meet at the restaurant. If we went there and the food was bad and the service was bad, when we were walking out, he would say the same thing every time. He would go, Burr, I've been here twice, my first and my last. Like, he would just say, I got no place at all for people who give me horrible service. Have you ever wondered what people think about the church? Do you ever wonder what people think about when they come across Christ followers who are servers in a restaurant, business people, teachers? What is their impression of us? Do they see us as individuals that are being bothered by them? They're being inconvenienced? They're being judged? Or they see someone who wants to walk up next to them and say, I don't know how I can help you, but I want to give you the Chick-fil-A service in life. Welcome. It's my pleasure. If we have been transformed by the grace of God, it should reflect it in the way that we serve other people. And that's why today we're going to be talking about saved people serve people. Because if we've been transformed by the grace of God, and we are supposed to be imitators of him, then what does Mark chapter 10 say that Jesus came to do? It says this, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus came to give of himself to serve other people. And if we are supposed to be imitators of him, it means this, that we need to step up as the church, as Christ followers, and we need to give of ourselves sacrificially to other people. It is our responsibility. We should be the best in the industry when it comes to serving other people in our communities and in our church. So let me ask you this. When people come across you, whatever you do, do they think that you're a jerk? That you're the annoyance? That if they look to you and say, "Could you help me?" and you go, "Oh." Or do they see someone who is a Christ follower, who is being transformed into the image of God, that says, "Man, it's my pleasure. What can I do to help?" I want you to know this. You are called, you are gifted, you are equipped, and you are empowered to serve like Jesus both inside and outside of the church. At salvation, when God calls us to himself, he gives each one of us at least one special ability, one special gift. And if we do it right, as we grow up in our faith, we become equipped, or people come alongside of us and help us to develop that gift or those abilities or those skills so that we can serve other people more effectively. But here's the ultimate. We have been given the Holy Spirit as a helper that empowers us in life to serve other people. So when it comes to serving, when it comes to giving of yourselves to other people, my question is this: do you look like Jesus in this church, in the community, and the places you work? Do you look like Jesus? Inside and outside the church, you have been called, you have been gifted, hopefully you've been equipped, and you are empowered to make a difference in people's lives. It's interesting, when I read through the Gospels, the first four books of the Bible in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, what we find is this: Jesus sacrificially giving of himself over and over and over again. And no matter what good he did in life, it seemed like there's always people who stood opposed to him. They would try to trick him. They would try to trip him up. They would put him to the test. And they would stand back and say, "What can I do to ruin his influence in this community? What can I do to influence his to hurt his reputation? The popularity that he's been growing, how can I wreck him?" And so they would come and ask questions of him, and they would try to make him look foolish in front of other people. So we come to Luke chapter 10. And in Luke chapter 10, we begin this story leading up to the Good Samaritan. Beginning with verse 25, it says, "On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. 'Teacher,' he asked, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?'" So the thing that's frustrating about some of these guys who would try to go against Jesus is oftentimes when they would ask a question, Jesus would stand back, understanding their motive, understanding what they were trying to do and accomplish, and he would typically do this. He wouldn't answer their question directly. He would typically ask them a question back, or he would tell them a story, which had to be frustrating. "Hey, let me ask you this question. Before I answer that, let me ask you a question." And so in this scenario of Luke chapter 10, he does both. He asks a question and he tells a story. Verse 26, "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" Again, this is an expert of the law. So he asks the question of Jesus and he comes back and says this. He goes, "Hey, aren't you the guy who's the expert? Why don't you tell me what it says?" He fell for it. So he jumps in. Verse 27, He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Let's go to the next verse. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. He listed two greatest commandments. He goes, this is what you're supposed to do. If you love God with every part of your being, which means you've given yourself to him, and you serve other people like God has served other people. Listen to me. You're winning, right? That's a win. And so Jesus responds to him and goes like this. Hey, that's great. So if you know that, why aren't you doing it? And you could tell that it was a little snarky there because he comes back and he tries to justify himself and he says this. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, so who is my neighbor? And that's where Jesus goes into this story of the Good Samaritan. If saved people serve people, and we're supposed to be like Jesus, the first thing I want you to get today is this. We need to see as Jesus sees. We have to see people as Jesus sees people. So as I get older, I don't know about you, but as I get older, my paradigm continues to change. I begin to see things differently. The things that I thought were so important when I was 14 years of age, right, really aren't that important to me right now. When I was 18, it's just not that important to me. And as you grow, it's amazing how age and how experience and how Jesus can transform our paradigms, our perspectives of life, and have us look at life differently. When we are transformed by the grace of God, it must change us. It has to make a difference in our life. If saved people are going to serve people, then we have to see Jesus as Jesus sees them. Here's what's interesting to me. When God looks at people, he sees incredible value in them. Why? Because they are image bearers. They were created in his image. They are like no other aspect of creation. He values people so much that when the relationship was broken between people and him because of sin, God sent his son Jesus into the world to die, to rectify the problem, to fix it, to make sure that the relationship was restored. When God looks at people, when Jesus looks at people, he sees them as people who have incredible value in life. So often, when we look at people, we look at people from the perspective of what can we get from them? How can we utilize them for my own good? How can they be manipulated? Instead of looking at them as people who are created as God, in his image, in the image of God, instead of looking at them as image bearers. So he goes in this story, he's talking about this transformation that we look at people from, instead of the world's perspective, from God's perspective. Jesus begins telling this story of the Good Samaritan. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and when he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. So the trip from Jerusalem to Jericho was about a 17-mile hike. It was downhill, dropped about 3,000 feet in elevation, windy road, windy trail, kind of a dangerous road to travel. The most dangerous part of it is when you travel down this road, oftentimes people would hide along the trail, along the path, and robbers would sit there. When people came along who were vulnerable, they would often attack them, rob them, steal them, beat them, do whatever. So this man in the story is walking down this path, comes along robbers, and what the robber did was they just beat him, stripped him of his clothes, took his stuff, left him there for dead. So Jesus says this guy's laying there in a heap, a victim of a crime, and it says three people come a long way, come along his side. The first one's a priest. Now, this is great news, right? It's a priest. It's a religious guy. Great news. The priest knew a bunch of the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. You know, when you talk about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, they knew a ton of that. They memorized a ton of it. They knew God's word. These were guys who had to pray all the time. They would religiously pray to God. They were in communication with God. These are guys who were supposed to care about people. These were individuals supposed to serve other people. Man, what a fortunate deal for this victim who's laying on the side of the road, who's wounded, because here comes a religious person down the road to help out. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, He passed by on the other side. This guy's had all the qualifications to serve. And instead of helping this guy, he crosses the street and ignores him. He didn't stop and say, "Hey, I'm sorry you're having a bad day. Hey, is there anything I could do to help? Hey, let me at least pray for you. I'm not going to touch you, but I'll at least pray for you." The priest, the guy who memorized most of the first five books of the Bible, who prays, who cares, who does whatever, he crosses the street and ignores the guy. I want you to know, when we talk about the Bible should compel us to action, not arrogance. How does someone know so much of the Bible and fail to apply it? Oh, it's great to understand the principles, but it's a different thing to practice it. It's awesome for the church to sit down and get deeper and deeper in God's word and understand theology and doctrine. But if you sit in the auditorium and do nothing about it, who cares? If we learn something, we need to put it into practice. We need to serve people like Jesus served people. We need to see people as Jesus sees people. When we come to being arrogant, this is what it is. You know what arrogance is? Well, I'm not arrogant. Listen to me. If you walk around this life like the world revolves around you all the time, and you can't be bothered or inconvenienced by someone else, you're way too important to give of your time and of your resources to serve anyone else. That is arrogance. The Bible compels us to action, not to arrogance. So there's a priest. He's got the resume, spiritually speaking. And he crosses the street and ignores him. Next guy comes along as a Levite. These are the people who are busy little bees at the church, right? They're there Sunday, and they're there Monday night helping. They're there Thursday. They go to Wednesday night prayer meeting, and they do stuff on Sunday, and they're the busy bees in church. Church, 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 church. So the Levite comes along, busy little bee. This is awesome. This guy's got to stop. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he saw the train wreck, he saw the mess, he saw the victim. He goes across the street, passed by on the other side. Do you understand? The people who are the most qualified completely ignored a man in need. Yay, Jesus! Let me talk to you about hermeneutology and the doctrine. Sin. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your might. And I love other people as yourself. These are the two greatest commandments. And the people who are the most qualified stepped across the street and totally ignored them. Oh, but before we're too hard on the priests and the Levites, right? How about you? How about you? Have you ever gone by someone on the side of the road who's broken down and you tell they're in a really bad spot? Man, that's a bummer, isn't it? As we just keep driving. I was talking to somebody this week from this church, and I laughed because I knew this was in my notes, and they told me this story, and I started laughing, going, "I'm telling on you. I'm not going to call them out by name, but I'm telling on you." They said, "I was driving here this week, and I saw a truck with a bunch of lumber in the back. They hadn't tied it down. And the person had enough wisdom to look at it and say, when they start or do something, that lumber is coming out. So they backed up, watched to see what was going to happen, watched the lumber come flying out of the back of the truck, And they said, so if you're dumb enough not to tie it down, they went around and took off. I know you've never been there, right? Ever. I know that when we ask you, it's like, hey, you know what? We need some volunteers to help us in the church. I don't care if it's children's ministry, guest ministry, small groups, whatever it is, working the cafe. When we ask you to help, I know that you would never cross the street and walk away ignoring the need. I know you wouldn't do that, right? You would never, never ignore the need. To us, when we say save people, serve people, it's not just a slogan. It's what we have been called to do because that's what Jesus did. So we keep going in this story, this scenario, and the person who is the least likely hero becomes the hero. Let's continue. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. When he said Samaritan, the crowd must have gasped. Oh, so here comes a Samaritan. Oh, no, not a Samaritan. They were the least likely, the least qualified to do anything. The Jews and the Samaritans did not get along because they had married non-Jews. They were seen as second-class citizens. I don't want to go strong and say they hated them, but pretty close. Like, the Jews kind of hated the Samaritans. And so Jesus said, let me just pick the person who's the worst person out there and say, here comes the priest, the Levite, they ignore him. Here comes the Samaritan. And you can see the people going, oh, no, we know where this one's going. And it said this, he had pity on him. He had compassion. He cared. It was the Samaritan who became the hero of the story. He could have said, you know what, I'm not really qualified because here's a Jewish guy, I'm a Samaritan, he hates me. I'm sure he doesn't want my help. There's oftentimes that we sit back and say, well, I'm not qualified. I don't have the ability. I don't have the skill. Sometimes we need people to step up and say, I'm not sure how I can do it, but I'm willing. I'm willing to give of myself in whatever way to serve you. What can I do to help meet your need? It's amazing how God takes people who are ordinary and uses them in an extraordinary way. We see it throughout Scripture, and we see it throughout church history. Think about the disciples. They were fishermen. In Acts chapter 4, when John and Peter were debating with these religious leaders, and they were part of this council, they said, listen to these guys. These are untrained, uneducated people. And when they got done speaking, they stepped back and went, wow. Where do these guys get so much wisdom, so much insight? Because God uses ordinary people in extraordinary ways. If we are going to serve people as save people, we have to see them as Jesus sees them. Secondly, we need to respond as Jesus leads. We have to respond as Jesus leads. In the next verse, it says this, he went to him. He just went to him. Remember the Pharisees? Remember the Levites? Remember the religious people? They stepped across the side of the road, but the Samaritan went to him. He felt compelled to do something. He saw him as Jesus saw him. He said, I don't know what I can do, but I gotta do something to help this guy. I think one of the reasons that we need to go is because we were the people, every single one of us were the people who were on the side of the road, and Jesus came to us. He felt compelled to come to us, to get his hand dirty, and to help us with our greatest need. Sometimes we have to step back and say, I have to go because that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did for me. Jesus came to me in my greatest need and gave me everything he had. And the very least I can do is give some of what I have to other people. The Samaritan said, I have to go. So he went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Gave himself physically, financially. He gave what he had, his oil, his wine, his donkey, took his money. He put him up in an inn, and he said this, I want to help this guy heal. I want to get this guy back on his feet again. He gave what he had. How are you guys doing when it comes to serving other people? Do you walk through life like the world revolves around you? And we don't have time. We can't be inconvenienced. We can't be bothered by your problems. I don't have time to make a meal for you. I don't have time to serve in the church. I don't have time to give someone a ride somewhere. I don't have the time to sit down and listen to somebody who's lonely. I just don't have time. Why? Because my life is way too more important. Let me tell you this. God calls you to action, not to arrogance. He calls you to be like him. Here's some ways that you can serve. You can serve people spiritually. Folks, in this season that we're going through as a society, we have to be committed as a church to praying. I still believe in the power of prayer, that God can do a much better job than we can when it comes to transforming lives and transforming our communities. How are you doing in your prayer life right now? Who are you praying for? Are there people in your life that are in desperate need of whatever, and are you praying for them consistently? We've had some major stuff happen on our campus the last couple weeks, and the chatter on our Facebook site has been lively about prayer. And I want you to know God's been answering our prayers. Sometimes Christians can be a little bit of complainers. We can complain about our political leaders, how bad life is, woe is us. Do you spend as much time praying for our political leaders as you do complaining about them? Have we lost the idea of the power of prayer? A vote in November is not going to change much. But God can change a whole bunch. Are you praying? Do you pray for your spiritual leaders? Do you pray for us? You know, we need your prayers too, right? We've walked through these months and it's been duck and cover, duck and cover. You have people all over the board on all different kinds of issues today. And man, we're just trying to lead people to do what God's called us to do. That God would give us wisdom as we lead. Do you pray for your leaders? We can serve people spiritually as well by getting involved. I don't care if it's children's ministry, student ministry, adult ministry, getting involved in things at the church. Have you gotten involved? It's not just showing up and being a warm body. Hey, they can fog a mirror, right? So let's put them in children's ministry. Listen to me. When you're doing this, you're there not just to fog a mirror and be a heartbeat in a room. You're there to help change lives. It's taking time to listen to a story, to talk to a child, to talk to a teen, to talk to an adult. I went to United Night a couple weeks ago, and I got to sit with a bunch of our junior high kids. I went over just to check it out, sat down with a bunch of our kids. It was a blast sitting there talking to our kids. I was asking, what's going on? One of the girls, she pulled her phone out. So I'm old school, right? So I looked at her and I said, put your phone away. What? Put your phone away. We're sitting at this table having an amazing conversation. You're going to pull your phone out? Put it away. And we sat there laughing and goofing around. And I got up to go get another bag of chips. And the kids go, you're not leaving, are you? Cool. I said, no, I'm just getting chips. You want anything? No. I came back. And we sat there and we just talked and hung out. And I want to hear about their lives and what they're doing. Listen to me. When you serve people, just don't walk into a room to fill a space. Walk into a room to say, God, use me to help this little life be transformed. Help me to lead them to Christ. Help me to help them grow up in their faith. Help me to do whatever, but God, use me. We can serve physically. It can be as simple as a project. Jump in and help someone. When I was on vacation, I actually didn't hit the horse fence with my tractor. Off over it went. Now, again, it was rotted, right? I just barely touched it, and the two things, the whole corner post just goes, and I look at it, the whole thing's all rotted out, which I'm glad it happened now, not in the winter. So I said, how hard can this be, right? I dig two holes, throw some posts back in, and do this. The first hole I dug, supposed to be 42 inches deep, I got to 38, and I said, I'm done. I was about an hour and a half into this hole trying to get it dug. There are a lot of rocks in this area, big rocks. So I got to the next hole, and I got down about 20 inches. And, man, I was losing some steam. I'm going, dude, I'm not as young as I used to be. And so I'm trying to beat these holes and get these holes. And so here comes Matt Pooser, a pastor from Halstead, stops by. Before he came as a pastor, he used to put fences in for a living. Hallelujah! So I said, he goes, you got a problem? I said, oh, I got a big problem down there. He goes, you got a big rock. I said, yes, I do. He goes, let me help you. You want help? Whoa! Like heaven opened up. The glory of the Lord shines. Like, yes, I can help. So I have these huge bars. We're hitting them. He's going, it's not coming out. He goes, we're going to have to break it. What? You got to break that rock. I'm thinking, I'm going to go get a mini excavator. I'll dig a hole. I'll tell you what, I'll get that post in there. I'm telling you, we're working hard. He measures. We must have been doing it for 15 minutes. He goes, oh, we got a good inch or two out of there. I see my son come home. He's a big dude. Hey, get over here. It took the three of us over an hour to go from 20 inches down to about 40 inches. I want you to know, it sounds silly, but there's something cool about people coming alongside and saying, hey, can we help? Can I help you dig a hole? It's someone who needs a ride, and you say, you know what? I'll get up at 5:30 and I'll take you. It's sitting with someone at an appointment who's by themselves. It's coming early and helping set up, working at work days at the church, cafe, whatever, physically giving yourself, I'm not good at working with kids, but you know how many things we can do? Your neighbors on a project, and don't have them come ask you. You go to them and say, can I help you? Is there anything you can do? I see that you're painting your house. Can I help? Serve financially. I'm amazed at this Samaritan who took his money and paid for a hotel room. And he told the innkeeper and said this, if you need anything else, you let me know and I'll pay for it. There are times in the wealth of America that we have, there are times there are people who really are in need, and they could use somebody who just comes alongside of them and say this, hey, can I just buy groceries this week? Let me cover that for you. One of the things I love about our church, and we're going to talk about this in the fall, is that I love the way our church helps people not only locally but around the world. We have churches, all our campuses are supporting our police and saying thank you for what you do for us. And we're dropping off gift baskets and doing all kinds of things. Says, you know what? You got people who got your back. This church has got your back. I love going out and just saying, we support you. We went to the school and said, hey, we know you're starting back up again. Can we serve you? What can we do for you? And some of our campuses are giving stuff. We ask them, what can we do for you to serve you? It's really cool when the church steps up and serves people. But I want you to know this. When we give to this church, and I want you to give generously, right? This campus has been amazing at giving. Through even COVID, you guys have been amazing, so thank you so much. But even for those online, I want you to know when you invest in this ministry, you're supporting an orphanage in South Africa. You're supporting church planting in India. You're supporting an impoverished community in Ethiopia. You're supporting a hospital in Africa that they're giving need. There's no hospital. We're supporting that hospital. We're supporting two communities in Guatemala. Listen to me. We're not sitting around getting fat and happy. We're sitting around saying, how can we serve our community and how can we serve people around this world? Guys, we got to wake up. God didn't call us to sit in this arrogant world that's about us. He called us to give of ourselves that we reflect his image to other people and say this, what can I do to help? So he ends the story this way and says, which of these three do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, you go and do likewise. you go and do it. Can I encourage you, not just this week, can I encourage you to change your mindset to where you give of yourself spiritually, physically, and financially to other people? Why? Because we are image bearers as well, and our responsibility is to reflect the image of God to those we come across in our community and around this world. Can I encourage you? Can I exhort you to go and to do likewise? In the back table, we have things put out, papers put out, about some of the different ministries you can get involved in our church. We have things in our community. If you're not serving, can I challenge you to serve? Find a place to serve. Find someone in your community to serve, because I want you to know this. This is not just a little cliche, a little slogan. This is what we're supposed to be. It's save people who serve people. If you want to go online here at the church, bridgewater.church/serve, even for those who are watching online, if you want to do that, you can sign up on the back or you can sign up there. But remember, save people, serve people. Father, thank you so much for these values that you've given us in your word, and this the time we've been able to spend to just kind of focus on the responsibility we have as Christ followers. God, I thank you for those who are just on the front lines and making a difference. I pray that they would be encouraged, that you would see, you would show them the life change. You'd give them just a look behind the curtain to see lives that have been being transformed. But for those here who are thinking about it, saying, you know what, I'm really not doing much. God, I pray that you'd bring someone into their life this week that they would have the opportunity to be Jesus too. God, oh, use this church through serving others. We ask in your son's name. Amen.
Would you stand and sing with us?